Welcome to Minute Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the Mission Impossible franchise, 1 minute at a time. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Chris.
This is Christian.
And this is Jeff.
Oh, new voices, Chris. Do you hear those new voices?
Yes, I do.
Do you know what that means?
Noobs.
It's super fan. No, yes, noobs means noobs. But it also means super fan week.
Ooh.
This is super fan week. This is for our patrons on our Patreon account who are super fans of our. Basically, they pay us. It's pay to play on Minute Impossible. So I will introduce them now, and everyone else can learn about them too. All right.
Cool.
Secret. Our first guest. You may know him from his time as a professional model for the International Spy Museum website. Currently, he's been taken down off of it, is what I found out today. But he is back with us today to talk about the movie that he loves so much. He's our favorite spy guy. It's Christian Evangelista.
Hello.
Hey, welcome. Welcome. Christian Evangelista is a... That's a wrestler's name.
Interesting. I've heard different... I've heard, someone's
name.
Told me... It's like a, it's a Hollywood star name. I've heard radio star. Jace, anything that I'm not really.
You have a name for radio.
You got a name for radio, yeah. And that other voice you hear. You might not know his voice, but you should know his fingers. That sounded better when I wrote it. But he plays the guitar on Facebook a lot. He is a super fan of ours. He has been with us this entire year and through some of the hardest episodes we've had, including the live episode. I want you all to put your hands together and then pull them apart and put them back together again for our next guest, super fan, Jeff the Listener Hamill.
Hello.
Jeff, I'm going to need you to be a little...
Hey! Hi.
A little more energetic.
Yeah. Welcome, guys. Welcome.
I'm wiggling my fingers.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Great for the audio medium.
Yes, exactly. Well, welcome, guys. It's a great week. We got some good minutes. The music alone in this minute is going to be awesome. So we're going to. Yeah. I'll explain what this minute's about. This minute's minute 81. And minute 81 begins with a gun in Naya's face and ends with Ethan saying, "I'm sorry," with his eyes.
Oh, fancy.
He says a lot with his eyes in these minutes.
He does. He's a very good eye actor. There's a lot of eye acting in this movie we've talked about over the whole movie. Most of it's from Ambrose. But, well, that's just wet eye acting. This is real eye acting. And this is where Ambrose kind of pulls out the stakes.
Yeah.
Naya comes out. She's being led by Hugh has, I guess, given the pizzas to his henchmen, the Ambrose, and he's now handing Naya off. She's got a gun in her face, and Ambrose is telling Ethan that if it wasn't for him, she wouldn't be in this mess. So he's blaming Ethan for what's about to happen, which I assume is he's going to kill Naya. Is that what you guys thought when you saw it?
I thought he was using her as bait, obviously, but...
okay, to get him to peek his head out?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
To get him to hand over to not put up a fight, basically, you know.
This is really the first time I think that he's actually supposed to be looking out for her well-being.
Yeah.
He's not been doing that so far in this movie.
No, not at all.
From the initial getting her to be on the team to bagging her in the bed to everything. It's
to almost knocking her off a cliff.
To send her to the sex dojo. There have been a lot of things that are not in her best interest in this movie.
No. Now, what I find interesting about the minutes that we're doing this week, as I watched them, you know, we're watching them minute by minute. They are some of the longest minutes in the film to me. Like even though there's a lot going on and I think it's because you're really invested in it. Some minutes feel long because you're like, oh my God, nothing's happening. But these ones, there's something going on in each minute of the minutes. It feels like each second is elongated to me as the minute goes by. And like you said, it's not heard at all by the music, which is really great.
And the music is so good.
It's the return of Lisa Gerrard right after they had just done Gladiator together.
So good.
Yeah,
so
good. That was in my notes this whole week because this music is great.
Speaking of the music, I know that. So I was I was 14 when this came out, and I bought. So as soon as I watched the movie, I bought the soundtrack, not knowing that it was one of those music from and inspired by things. Oh, so like yeah. literally nothing from, they had what, the Limp Bizkit track, and they had
Metallica.
One of the tracks which apparently uses the riff from like Ambrose's theme music. Nothing was on there, so I was just like so, I was like so depressed by it, and then found the score that was much better, and the I didn't know who Hans Zimmer was at that time, but it I was just like, oh, this is so Hans Zimmer.
How many kids in 2000 and before that got burned because there was no, the internet didn't really give you like, tell you like what LPs you're buying.
What was the internet back then though? Remember?
You know, yeah, I know. You didn't know like, you're like, oh, I got the soundtrack to the Mission Impossible. I got the soundtrack to Jurassic Park. And like, damn it. It's the inspired by BS cash grab.
Can you imagine a soundtrack to Jurassic Park inspired by? That would be awesome.
For Jurassic Park?
Jurassic Park inspired
yeah,
by.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. It'd be like Purple People Eater. I don't know. I don't know. What would you put on? What would you put on?
What
that?
Would you put on? Jeff, exactly. What would be on that? What bands would you? Dinosaur Jr., I guess.
Yes. I mean, I want to say maybe Godzilla, but that's not quite right.
Everybody Walk the Dinosaur?
Everybody Walk the Dinosaur. Yeah.
Is that Ugly Kid Joe? Who is that?
Was not was.
Was not was.
That would be a little outdated by Jurassic Park, though. That's an 80s song.
Yeah, but it was still in the Super Mario Brothers movie.
Oh, well, okay, if that's your bar for quality.
Then. And that's the same year as Jurassic Park, too.
Yeah.
Hey, we like those boots. Those are very face-off boots.
They're power boots?
Yeah, power boots. And this scene, we get another Ambrose saying. We've had, the past 2 weeks has been chock full of cool your socks or stuck a sock in it or whatever he's been saying. He's been saying stuff that, you know, that Robert Towne wrote. But this time he actually goes, balls in your court. I'm like, oh, come on, man.
Come on,
don't
Shrek.
Talk.
Give us a break.
He's trying to be American.
Yes, balls.
You are American basketball.
No, he's not. He's trying to be tennis, and that's not American at all.
Oh. Who are all the Ambrose with him? I was very focused on the guy right over his shoulder wearing the patented MCU disguise.
Oh, the blue hat?
Yeah, the blank baseball cap. It's Captain America, apparently.
We know we didn't talk much about the Hinch bunch, the Ambrose.
The Ambrose.
They've all gotten shot. There's only like three left, or two. Maybe two?
Yeah, I think.
This
I
week
think,
we'll get to see a couple of them, but I don't know.
Tom Cruise's cousin is still there.
Yep, he's still there. Hugh is still there.
And Hugh's there, and Cap guy. I think that's it.
Is that?
Yeah, because I consider Tom Cruise's cousin to be like a tech hinch. So he's almost, you know, he's got plot armor. I assume he's going to make it to the last fight scene.
Isn't one of the henchmen the guy who plays Heatwave on Legends of Tomorrow?
Yeah, yes. Donovan Purcell.
Yeah. That would, yeah.
I thought he got shot last week.
Oh, you're right. He did get shot last week. You're right.
Yeah, he skid across the floor. So R.I.P. Dominic.
Yeah, I did not recognize him at all. I watched. No, I saw him in the credits at the end. I was like, wait, what?
It'd be like if friend of the show Rick Ingham had hair, and you saw a picture of him, you'd be like, I don't know who that is.
He's recognizable in Blade 3.
Oh, yes. Blade 3.
Blade 3.
he plays Dracula.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a horrible! Thanks for reminding me about that movie. Yeah. Why'd that exist? I've never gotten to do this because, as I talked about last week, I don't like guns. But I've always wanted to be able to gesture with a gun, like move. Seems very. I don't know. I've also never had a gun pointed at me. So
speaking of that, I was just looking at second 20. I can see you can see Mr. Mappo there. Where is he pointing his gun?
Yeah, they all kind of are. They're all pointing them sort of at Naya, but. Also,
not
at the,
really.
The tubes that,
I think
Ethan's
the
buying.
Ambro is pointing it on the other side of where Ethan's hiding. They've been told like to point their guns. If go away if he peeks. Either way, like I'm over here.
Now this is also we also get the return of Luther from his exploding van in this minute.
Let's talk about this. Thank God. we don't have Billy this week.
Thank God.
Because there's no Billy. Figure this out. There's no Billy. None.
No, not at all.
Is that Luther? Is he down there? Did I hear him? Is he alive? None of that.
None of that.
None.
Thank you.
I wonder if it was in the director's cut, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sure it was. Gosh. There's a, yeah, they go to him and he's standing. Oh, wait, that's not. Yeah. He's in the flaming wreckage. They kind of do this fun dolly shot to a sharp zoom. Like he's like the hero of the movie who we've just found out's alive. And he's alive. So that means the communications works, which means there's a Nubbin Jr. somewhere.
Nubbin Jr.
We RIP'd the Van Nubbin last week. That means Nubbin Jr.'s there. I don't know where Nubbin Jr. is. I don't know what Nubbin Jr. I hope Nubbin Jr. is with Billy right now. That helicopter has a nubbin on the bottom of it.
I just presume that Luther has a bunch of extra nubbins on him all the time.
Luther is a nubbin.
Yeah.
He's got a bag of nubbins.
Bag of nubbins.
One thing I found out, and this may be an error in the script, but I was reading through the script, reading this scene, and after he explodes and the van tries to kill him, and it wasn't in last week, it's in this week. It was like in the, because the talking and the dialogue had moved along. There's also a shot where the sheep farm gets exploded.
What?
Oh, really?
What?
The sheep farm blows up, but I was like, but no one's at the sheep.
Yeah, why? Sheep. How do they know where the sheep farm is?
I don't know.
Did they like trace the communicate? No.
Which
why
makes
would
they be- me wonder if they, and they call it the sheep farm IMF safe house. That's what it's in turn. It says INT.
Oh, so he would probably know about the sheep farm house.
And then it says it blows up. And here's what it says. The bomb's LED readout says 654321. As it reaches zero, a small light on the bomb suddenly stops its incessant blinking. Saw horses and dirt fly.
Saw horses
and dirt fly.
It's a sawhorse farm, not a sheep farm.
No sheep were harmed.
No, I was like, is this an error in the script? Like, did they? Why would it? I looked above and below to find the establishing shot of the sheep farm, like to make us okay. There's the sheep farm. Nothing. This is the only reference to the sheep farm in this scene. I love it.
And then they dolly and zoom to a sheep coming around the corner, slightly singed.
Yep, and his little and his little baby next to him, and they just kind of go, "Bah."
They're IMF sheep.
It's a bit of a crispy fried Luther.
Yeah,
Kentucky.
When Naya walks over, let's talk about this. Naya walks over, and she's figuring something out. We don't know what it is yet, but Ethan is at the point of like, I can't believe I involved her in this.
Yeah,
but she's looking down at the injector, and that's where this minute ends. Did you think? At this point, I'm asked this every day this week. Did you think that Naya was going to live through this scene? At this point?
No.
In this minute?
No.
I say no.
I thought she was going to kick it over to him and she was going to bite it, giving him motivation towards the end.
I will ask you the same question tomorrow when she gets closer to doing that. And you will tell me again whether you thought she was going to die or not. And at what point did you go, oh, they're not going to kill her?
Okay. Well, based off the last Mission Impossible movie, I had no idea that any woman would have a central role in the film, let alone, you know, where we're at now.
Well, let's ask. Robert, can you come here and tell us
why? What do you want? What do you want?
Why do you kill off all the women?
What women?
The women in the movie. The women that you write.
The women in the movie? I didn't write any women.
Nope. Wait, were those male parts that someone else turned into women parts?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right, well, go back into your closet.
Roman!
Are you still yelling Roman,
He's for Roman still. He's
no one's going to get that joke anywhere.
I know.
Something else.
He's still looking for Roman, though. You know, to tell him that he's not in America anymore.
No one has the heart to tell him that Roman Polanski is not down in there with him.
No, exactly. I think he thinks John Woo is Roman Polanski. That's the problem.
Oh, no. That's going to go badly.
That's going to go very badly. But yeah, no. I didn't have any clue. I mean, you know, I thought she was just the typical damsel in distress at this point. Personally.
Yeah, no. I definitely thought she was. So I think the first mission. So I was what? 9 or 10 when I saw the first Mission Impossible. It was basically the first movie I didn't see that wasn't a Disney movie. And so, you know, okay, they kill off, you know, the kind of love interest, but not quite. So I just expected, all right, she's going to die too somehow.
Yeah, because they shag at the beginning and they're not real close the rest of the movie.
No, they haven't this really been around each other since the opening.
Since this was never the plan, this reminds me a lot of the looks that Ethan gave his wife in the second movie, the third movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think I see this more like in that first scene, that pleading, like, we'll see it more in the next minute, but.
Well, she certainly does have a lot of the same qualities as his wife in the second film, you know. I
think. They both wear children's shirts.
That's true. and tennis shoes and jeans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just now realized she's wearing shoes. For some reason, when I watch this, I always picture her being barefoot in this scene.
Ah!
Shoot the
That's
glass.
A nightmare.
Yeah. I don't know why, but I always just assume she was barefoot. And I'm
getting
at
confused
still.
With a movie, a little Christmas movie called Die Hard.
Well, the Tom Cruise's cousin is kind of the Theo of the Ambrose.
He's no Theo.
No, he's no Theo.
You just stopped the podcast cold by referencing what's his head from Walker, Texas Ranger. What hell's his name?
Oh, let's see. What's his name?
We met him.
Yeah.
The hell was his name?
I'm looking it up. Clarence Gilliard Jr.
That's good, because I was going to call him Bertram Halfath. So,
I mean, just sounds almost as good.
Yeah. Yeah, we met him once.
Is he Reginald Bell Johnson, right? No, or Deborah White? Which one of those guys is he?
He wasn't a nice guy. Who said that? I don't know.
No, it wasn't. Neither was Chuck Norris.
Nice. Yeah, but Chuck Norris doesn't need to be nice.
No, he's Chuck Norris.
He's Chuck Norris.
Exactly.
All right, well, let's everyone take off their shoes and let's walk over the glass shards to Tech of the Ep. You guys want to join me?
Ooh,
ow, mine are off.
Ah.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Ah. Oh. Ow.
You go sit in a bathroom. God, I'm gonna take these pieces of ice.
Yeah, Chris. Yeah, Chris. Give me Bactine. Remember Bactine? Yeah. You got any Bactine? Yeah.
I'm just singing the Annie Lennox song.
Wait, walking on broken glass?
Yes.
Walking on broken glass. Welcome. Welcome, gentlemen, to your first Tech of the Episode. Don't blow it. You have to have an amazing Tech of the Episode or you will never be asked back on. That's how Superfan Week works. It is a harsh system, but it seems to work well. Since we've never done it before and this is the first time ever. And because you are new, you have to go first. So I'm looking to the whites of both of your eyes. And unfortunately, Jeff does not have a video camera. So I'm going to have to go pick Christian first. Christian, you are our first Tech of the App in Superfan Week. What you got, buddy?
All right. So I was just going to do the injection gun. But now it's got to be her shoes that I never saw before. So nice glass protecting shoes.
Welcome to a true BS answer from a true podcaster, because that's the kind of stuff we're looking for here. We don't care about that injection gun anymore. We've moved past it. You've moved. You're saying Naya's boat shoes or whatever they are, or little running. They actually look like track shoes, but yeah. All right. Yes, I like them, and I like that they're there. And I don't really look at shoes, but you just have a cute little outfit on.
Yeah,
it's funny how it's cyclical. It's all back. This is exactly what girls wear right now.
Is it?
Yeah.
Tight, high jeans, the tiny little shirts, and the white sneakers.
I haven't been around a girl in a while, so thanks for letting me know.
God, Chris, you're such a downer.
I can confirm.
Womp, womp.
I can confirm.
Jeff, what about you?
Trust me. This was a strange minute. I'm going to go with can I do a technique?
Ooh.
Let me check.
I'm gonna get crap for this.
Judges say yes.
Because my technique of the ep is actually Dougray Scott's acting technique in the beginning. I don't know. I really like the way he spits out his words slowly.
Yeah, we were coming off last week. We actually gave him props for a good scene last week. He's pretty solid in this.
She wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you, Hunt.
Yeah, the way he says Hunt.
Yes, he makes Hunt sound like a dirty word.
Naughty word.
Yeah. He does.
Hunt. Ball's in your court now. Hunt. So, it's
Chris, what about you?
I'm going to go with the Steadicam shot that they use to reveal Luther. Past the debris that's supposed to be a van, but doesn't look like van debris.
R.I.P. Van debris.
Exactly, R.I.P. Van debris. Looks sort of like Darth Vader's mask, though.
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
There's been an awakening.
Exactly.
Of Luther.
Have you felt it?
Is that Luther? Has there been an awakening? Shut up, Billy. Yes, there has.
Still up in that damn plane.
So it's a helicopter. How long has it been? Oh, yeah, it was 8 minutes, right? So yes,
they were out of contact.
Yeah. So what has Billy been? So we have no idea what Billy's been doing this whole time.
What do you mean? What have I been doing? I'm flying around in circles. Wee! Here I come again. I'm coming by.
Wouldn't local authorities be concerned?
Looking in people's windows.
So we know he didn't come in to check on Luther because he just popped up now.
Maybe he's worried about his sheep farm.
Truly the most
I just
useless.
Got an alert from my nest. It says that the alarm, that someone blew up the sheep farm. I'm headed there now.
That's where he went. He left. He's very concerned
since
about
we know
sheep.
It's like 3 hours away, it's going to take him a while. So. Yeah. I'll see you guys in the morning.
It's on the other side of Australia.
It really is.
So is there an Ambrose out at the other side of Australia that set the bomb? It's like, this is the worst
they
job.
Said it. They said it 3 weeks ago.
Not 3 weeks ago.
That's a long timer.
Luckily, it was all set up correctly.
Yeah.
Mine is going to be Nubbin Jr. He's inferred. An inferred tech of the episode is an interesting way to go. But I'm going to have to infer him. So an inference of a tech of the app.
Nubbin Jr.
I mean, welcome, Nubbin Jr. You're here.
He does
welcome,
give Nubbin. Ethan that very timely notice.
He did. No, he's Nubbin Jr.'s not like his papa. Not like Big Nubbin. Mm. Nubbin Jr. gets it done.
That's right.
I have this strange feeling for the rest of the movie, communication won't be a problem at all.
I love Ethan's response to that. That was great.
Yes. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And it's not even sarcastic. No, it's just thank you. It's lovely. He's lovely in that scene.
Oh no.
Well, these are great John C. McCloy. These are great these are great tech of the apps. Let's move on. We'll go now to do some plugs. Since you guys aren't actually podcasters, you can plug anything you want. Is there a baseball team you want us to see? Is anything like movies that you enjoy right now that we should see
a
or
soundtrack
TV shows
inspired by soundtrack?
Uninspired by soundtrack? Did anyone get the Godzilla King of the Monsters inspired soundtrack?
I didn't get the inspired one. I got the regular one though, the score.
I got just the song. Yeah, I got just the song with Surge. Yeah. Thank you.
I got the score by Bear McCree. That's great.
Let's go, Jeff. Let's reverse it. Jeff, you get to go first this time.
I will just plug Movies by Minutes in general, because I'm listener Jeff, and I listen to lots of those. And you should, too. So, moviesbyminutes.com.
What are your top... This is a hard question. Top five.
Star
it's
Wars.
It's okay if we're not in it. If we're not
no,
in it,
you guys,
okay.
You guys are in the top five now, for sure.
For now. We had you on.
Now that he's on.
All right. Five. Jeff can be boss.
Star Wars.
Let us see.
Indiana Jones. Probably Back to the Future. I mean, I'm just listening like the first ones that all came out. Mm-hmm. The Bat Minute guys, for sure. And Dearly Departed Mogwai Minute.
RIP on Mogwai Minute.
Pour one out for our homies at Mogwai's.
But you'll be able to watch them, listen to them when they do Way to Dune Minute.
I'll have to rewatch Dune.
Oh, it's so good. You'll love it. Christian, what about you?
So I've got two things to plug. So
if you're a member
of the Impossible Minute Force, you know that I post a lot of things about the Spy Museum, and I'm a member and a volunteer. But so I'll just plug, if you're ever in the DC area, check out the new museum. It's really cool. There's a part where you can crawl through an air vent just like Tom Cruise in the first movie. And the other thing I'm going to plug is, again, if you're in the DC area and you're looking for, or if you just moved here or looking for some new friends, I'm an organizer for a meetup called Geek Night Out. That's night with NITE. Find us on meetup.com. We do a lot of fun things, including things at the Spy Museum. So rope that back in.
Geek Night Out, that's a countrywide thing, right? There's a bunch of people that do Geek Night Outs, right?
There may be, but we...
Yours isn't part of that?
No, we formed on our own, yeah.
Okay, because there were some, I didn't know if it was. That's cool.
That is very cool.
Well, that's what we do here. This is basically Geek Night Out. It's just four of us not having to wear pants and talk about stuff.
I'm wearing pants today.
Chris, look at you. You're fancy.
I literally just got back from work and threw the computer on and... Before I got on my
Chris, I don't care about your excuses. Take your damn pants off right now.
I don't have anything on underneath.
What do you mean you don't have anything? You went to work commando? Gross. Mm-hmm.
Robert Towne told me I had to.
Oh, yeah.
He's got sick as dog on me.
You got to go free balling. That's the way to go.
I told Quentin Tarantino, go free ball. Look at him now.
Look at him now. He's made 9 movies. How many movies has he made?
9.
Okay. Well, then that joke works. That joke lands.
That plays.
Well, you can find us at theminuteimpossible.com. Don't go to that. I can't buy another URL. Minuteimpossible.com, the Impossible Minute Force on Facebook, our Patreon, where these two gentlemen found us and gave us money so that we could stupid stuff and voices. I love you guys. Thank you so much. Patreon.com/MinuteImpossible. And you know what? I think they've earned another day, Chris. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so, too.
All right. You guys get to come back tomorrow. I'll see you guys. I'll see you guys. We'll see you guys tomorrow. I've been Jonathan.
I've been Chris.
I've been Jeff.
I've been Christian.
This minute, we'll self-destruct.
See you next time on the show. It's